looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Fly ball right field, that's deep. Judge is back, circling a bit to the wall, leaps, he cannot get it. That ball is out of here. It's a home run for J.D. Martinez, and the Red Sox have taken the lead back.
So there you go. That's how it ended last night at Yankee Stadium. That's how the big three-game series between the Red Sox and the Yankees ended. The big blow, J.D. Martinez with a home run into the right field seats. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, let's open up the phones right away, if you would. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the program. Here's how we're going to do it tonight. I've decided. It's Friday. It's basically summer. There was a lot to talk about in that series, which I'm going to get to in a minute. So you know what? I almost want to treat this like an agenda-free Friday Baseball Reporters edition. Okay? So it's all baseball-related, but I want to put a few topics out there on the table for you. And I'm going to go sort of in inverse order. Number one, Eduardo Rodriguez. Okay, these are, so again, in reverse order of importance. Eduardo Rodriguez. Do you know the Red Sox are 7-0 when he starts?
Really?
7-0. They have not lost a game in which Eduardo Rodriguez starts. And last night, frankly, in the early part of the game, might have been the best I've ever seen him in a Red Sox uniform.
Boy, I would agree with that. That was as much of an A game as I've ever seen Eduardo Rodriguez. He's had some shaky ones this year, so that's why I guess I'm surprised at that 7-0.
Okay, you're right. He has had some shaky ones, but they've won when he's pitched. J.D. Martinez, and again, reverse order of importance. Boy, is that a big home run last night. And I know it's a cheapie, and I know it's Yankee Stadium, but frankly, I don't care. Use the ballpark to your advantage. He hits the ball the opposite way. The ball was down and in. He still golfed it into the right field seats. That's a big-time hit. And I told you, I wanted Stanton. I still want Stanton. But I'm rapidly becoming a believer in J.D. Martinez. I'm not there yet, but I'm rapidly becoming one. He has been a big part of what you've been able to accomplish here in the early part of the year. The bullpen. What a disaster the bullpen is. What a freaking disaster. And I said this earlier today, and I'll say it again now. If the Red Sox stay with this group through the end of the year, they're not good enough and they're not going to win anything. The Red Sox relievers ERA in that series in New York, in the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings, 11.57. 11.57. 7 innings combined. 10 hits, 9 earned runs, and 11.57 ERA, and that's not even the number that should concern you the most. The number that should concern you the most, 7 walks. 7 walks in the last 3 innings of the games played at Yankee Stadium. And remember, you didn't have to pitch the 9th inning in 2 of those games. In 2 of those games, you didn't have to pitch the 9th. Last night you did because you won, but in the other 2, it's really just the 7th and 8th innings. And you walk 7 guys. The bullpen is a problem. And I've come to the conclusion that the Red Sox don't need one reliever. They need 2. And then the final topic I want to put out there tonight. So again, in inverse order, Eduardo Rodriguez, J.D. Martinez, and that Red Sox bullpen. And anything else that's on your mind with regard to the team. But for me, still number one is David Price. David Price, who will start tomorrow in Toronto. And by now, you know all the stories. The carpal tunnel syndrome, the video games, the allergies, everything and anything with David Price that seems to get between his ears and prevent him from becoming the talent he could be. And so someone texted me today to ask me this question, and I think it's a good one to bring up. Who do you... Let me ask you, Murray, and let me ask you, Jimmy Stewart, before we get to the callers. Who do you hold most accountable for David Price?
Well, himself.
Okay, so and that's where I thought you would answer. Because that's ultimately the right answer. Jimmy Stewart?
I have to say David Price. He's a grown man. Get it together. Pitch like you're paid.
Absolutely.
Pitch like an ace. Do your job.
David Price is 33 years old. He's making $31 million a year. David Price is the guy to blame. However, when we really look at it, and I know people love to bitch every time the Red Sox sign a free agent and throw money away. If I were to ask you right now, if the Hanley Ramirez deal was worth it, what would you say?
Yes.
No.
See, I'm leaning yes right now, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's a reluctant yes, but it's a yes.
Hanley was good 2 years ago, and he's having a good year now.
It's early.
It is early. But overall, Hanley's been worth it. I'm not saying...
I'm not sure he has been over the course of the contract.
I'll tell you what. I'll take it. I think Hanley's been worth it to now. Now, ask me again in 2 months if Hanley starts acting like Hanley again. But to get 2 good years out of him, more than I thought they were going to get. So I would say Hanley's been worth it. When you look at some of the all-time worst signings in Red Sox history and them throwing money around, Hanley's not in the conversation right now.
No, not at all.
Carl Crawford, to me, is still a runaway, the absolute worst.
Crawford, Sandoval, I think, are a coin flip. And
how about this guy?
This guy. Yeah, I put him in there. He's the third.
So the reason I asked the question, Murray, is because I'm wondering why Dave Dombrowski isn't getting more heat right now. And this is my point as it pertains to Dombrowski. I was for signing David Price. The Red Sox needed him. They needed him. They started to turn the corner after the 2015 season. They had a good young nucleus. They had Betts. They had Bogarts. You know, Devers was still in the minors at the time. Benintendi was not even drafted yet, I don't think. I think Benintendi was 2016.
Yeah.
Bradley, though, was a guy that everybody was high on at the time. The Red Sox had a good young nucleus, and at the end of 2015, they played well, and we said, what? They need pitching. How are they going to get it? And the only real option they had was the free agent market. So I wanted them to get Price. I thought Price was the guy to bring in and take your chances and win during the regular season.
Yeah, but the only doubter, I think, in the city at that time was Felger. I was for it, too. While I had some doubts, he was the prize of free agency that year when it came to pitchers. Who else was it? Johnny Cueto and I think Jordan Zimmerman were the other big names.
And they've all, and I don't know what Cueto's done entirely out in San Francisco. I haven't followed
it. Often on the disabled list.
Okay, so he's been hurt. Zimmerman's been a disaster, and I always liked Zimmerman. But he hasn't been good either. And now Price has been a problem, so you could say that they've all been failures. But the thing that bothers me about Price isn't the fact that, you know, the elbow injury. The first year, he won 17 games. I mean, he wasn't god-awful. What bothers me about Price is the makeup issue. And when I say the makeup issue, the neuroses that this guy has and the absolute hypochondria that this guy's a mental case. Dave Dombrowski had him in Detroit. Dave Dombrowski traded for him. Dave Dombrowski didn't see any of this when he had him in Detroit. Like, I'm really starting to wonder about Dombrowski as an evaluator. Like, I wonder if Dombrowski looked at Price, Murray, and he said, oh, that other stuff, none of that matters. I mean, you know, whether it's Boston, you know, the Boston thing's overrated. Okay, look at Dombrowski's history and look at what he does. He always just goes for the best talent. It doesn't feel like he really weighs in any of the variables. Like makeup, the city.
Or even potential injury history with Drew Pomeranz, Tyler Thornburg. Maz, I'm with you 100% on this. I think he sees the name or knows, you know, ancillary knowledge about a player and is like, yep, let's have him signed.
So I'll tell you what, if you want to blame John Henry for David Price, because that's a big signing, fine, blame him. Go ahead, have a blast. But I'm telling you, there are signings that work out. How's Max Scherzer worked out with the Nationals? Has that one been pretty good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So sometimes they happen. But what I will blame an executive for is if a player has bad makeup or has some sort of, like, you know, I say mental problem, or maybe that's unfair to Price. But if a guy's a head
fragile,
case.
Fragile, weak, yeah, head case, whatever you want to say.
If a guy's a head case and you give him $217 million knowing that or ignoring it, that's the guy to me that has something to answer for. I want to hear more from Dombrowski on Price. I haven't seen enough of it. And frankly, I look at the whole Boston thing and the intensity of the market and think Dave Dombrowski kind of thumbed his nose at it when he came here like, oh God, the whole Boston thing, please, as if that market's any more intense than any other. I think Dombrowski dismisses all of that stuff because he does come off as arrogant. And I think he looked at that and said, oh, none of that's really going to factor in. And it's bitten him in the ass. I want Dombrowski to answer for Price. Not for the contract. I want him to answer for the makeup. Did he see the makeup problems in David Price? And did he just dismiss them? Because something tells me Dombrowski did. That is my one of my primary takeaways now on the David Price story. Because, look, bashing Price is a piece of cake.
Yeah, so if you rephrase your question to, so who do I blame for David Price? It's David Price. But who do I blame? I'll go one step further. Who do I blame for David Price being a member of the Red Sox? It's ultimately John Henry, because they should have never got rid of John Lester.
See, but Murray, well, so that's true, too. Your answer,
which is Lucchino as well.
But your answer and Jimmy's answer are the right answer. It is Price. Ultimately, he's a grown man. He takes accountability and responsibility for who he is and what he does. And if he wants to be better, he'll toughen up and start acting like a grown-up instead of a 13-year-old with you know, a brittle mind. I mean, the guy's a mental case. Okay, so ultimately, you're right. I just feel like I'm kind of advancing to the next part of the story. I want to know what Dave Dombrowski knew about Price's makeup, because it feels to me like he ignored it. And it feels to me like he just goes for the best arm available all the time. 617-779-0985. Again, a lot on the table. We'll start with Brad, who's in a car. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, Maz, Murray, Jimmy. I just got a question. Why have we not figured out this relief pitching? We got JBJ. We just need to get rid of him. We could honestly get rid of Price, too. Why can't we fool one of these stupid teams into taking like an Adrian Gonzalez-like trade? Just get rid of him. Get a couple of relievers. No one we can trust out there. Where's Thornburg? Carson Smith is a joke.
So, Brad.
Kimbrel, we can't really trust.
So, Brad, and I'm sorry to cut you off. I just want to try to get to as many people as we can. But the Jackie Bradley part of it, look, Jackie Bradley could get you a reliever. You're not going to move Price. Okay, you're not going to move Price. My only question with Jackie Bradley, and I know he's a potential trade trip, and by the way, he's not in the lineup again tonight. And I say trade chip. So Bradley's benched for the third straight game. Feels to me like the Red Sox have made a substantial lineup change there and feels more permanent than temporary with Jackie Bradley Jr. My issue with Bradley as a trade piece is he feels like the kind of guy you would acquire if you had a contender and you needed to shore up your defense, you had a soft spot on the roster, and you wanted to plug a guy in there that could help you win something now. If you were building something for the longer term, and you had a veteran reliever to trade, would you really want Jackie Bradley?
No.
I mean, I think he's a free agent. Is it at the end of next season? Like, I'll double-check that. If it's 2 years from now, maybe there's a little bit more reason to make a deal for a guy like Bradley. But if he's a free agent at the end of next year, what the hell do you want Jackie Bradley for? He's 28 years old. I think he's reached his ceiling. He's not going to get better than he is right now. You're not going to build anything around Jackie Bradley. So if you're a veteran team and you think you can make the playoffs, and adding Jackie Bradley to your club gives you a left-handed bat, a good defensive replacement, you can use him as a fourth outfielder. Hell, maybe you get an injury and you can use him as a starter. Sure, absolutely. I just don't know there's a great fit, a great match for the Red Sox with Jackie Bradley to get what the Red Sox also need. That's all. Okay, he's got value, but again, I just don't think he's got the right value for what they need on this trade market. It doesn't feel right. So, look, would I trade him? Absolutely. The guy you're going to have to trade for bullpen help is Swihart, especially now that your minor league system has been stripped of tradable talent between Chavis being popped for PEDs and Jay Groom now undergoing Tommy John surgery. You've lost all your tradable commodities. 617-779-0985. But make no mistake, the bullpen problems are the most significant thing with regard to the potential success or failure of the 2018 Red Sox, and we'll take you through the ugly details of this Yankee series when we come back.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
2-2 tie. Base hit into left. Walker is in to score. RBI single, however, for Judge to put New York in front again. 3-2. 2-2. Sock the other way. Benintendi on the move. He can't get it to the warning track and the fence. Walker to second base and a stand-up double. Hitters count. And he walks it.
Well, let's see if this brings in Kimbrel.
The 3-2. High fly. Well hit. Betts racing back. Mookie is not going to get there. It's on the warning track up against the wall. in to score Walker. Here comes Torres. Here's the throw home. He's safe. And a 1-2 to Judge. Sucked to center. Way back there. God. A sizzling line drive to center field to make it 9-6. Taking this ball forward, it's going to force in a run. Andujar will score to make it 4-1. Kelly has come on and missed with five in a row. And for the Red Sox, it's nine in a row that have missed. Ground ball, deep short. That's through for a base hit. Torres in to score. That'll make it 4-2. Stanton's got one for three with a base hit. Two down. And the first one to Stanton. He thought about it, skips away. Here comes Gardner. He will score. The Yankees have tied it. A wild pitch to bring in Brett Gardner.
Unbelievable. Curveball outside from Kelly that's going to bounce. Vasquez can't do anything with it. Gardner comes on to score. Tie ball game just like that.
Thanks to our producer, Jimmy Stewart, for putting that together, particularly on short notice. But you know what those are? Those are all the Red Sox bullpen failures in the series in New York, all taking place in the 7th, 8th, or 9th innings. And again, I told you this earlier in the week, and to me it's an important sort of standard to live by. I said this yesterday. The Masters, that old expression, the tournament doesn't start until the 10th tee on Sunday. In Yankee Stadium, the game doesn't start until the bottom of the 7th. Okay, it doesn't start until the bottom of the 7th at Yankee Stadium, because that's when you're going to have to get the big outs. In this series against New York, in the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings, Yankees batters hit .333. They scored 9 runs. Red Sox relievers, 7 innings, 10 hits, 7 innings combined in those 7th, 8th, and 9th innings. 7 innings combined, 10 hits, 9 earned runs, 11.57 ERA, and the number that should disturb you the most, 7 walks. 7 walks. Heath Hembree, 2/3 of an inning, 3 walks. Think of that. 2 outs he got, 3 walks. He got 2 outs and walked 3 batters. Joe Kelly, 3 innings, 3 walks, and a wild pitch. That was a big one, too. Oh, that's right, with Hembree, I left out the balk. Matt Barnes, 1/3 of an inning, 1 walk. I give you his numbers. Matt Barnes' career in Yankee Stadium last night, ERA of almost 9. These guys can't hack it. Okay, they don't. And when I say they can't hack it, they're good pitchers. They have a place on a roster, but they can't pitch the 7th, 8th, and 9th in New York against the Yankees. If you're going to win a World Series, you got to get guys better than that. So, listen, you could have them on the roster. You want to pitch them in the 6th? Pitch them in the 6th. Barnes last night pitched earlier in the game and did fine. Later in the game, in this series, he did poorly. They flipped Hembree and Barnes, and again, whoever's pitching later crapped his pants. That's just the way it happens at Yankee Stadium. The Red Sox need bullpen help. Tyler Thornburg might help, but he alone, even if he's good, and I'm not saying he is, he's not enough. I think you need 2. Steve is in Norton. What do you get, Steve?
Hi, Maz. Hi, guys. I enjoy the show so much. I respect your baseball knowledge, Tony. I grew up a huge baseball fan, pre-Impossible Dream days. My heroes were Koufax, Gibson, Marichal, so on. And I'm really excited.
I appreciate really excited. That, Steve. Yeah, what do you got on this series?
The Sox-Yankees?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a fun year. I really do. I feel bad about this, but the other night when JB fouled the ball off his toe, I was almost hoping that he broke it. They got to get rid of this guy. And David Price, I've never seen, heard, anything like this in my life. It's ridiculous.
Okay, yeah, so look, the Price thing is an ongoing issue, and I don't know, maybe he comes out and pitches great tomorrow, but I'm not holding my breath. The part that worries me most about Price is that he can't get out of his own way. That's the part that should really alarm you. Again, the elbow's healthy, at least as far as we know. The shoulder's fine. And so, but the video games and the allergy stuff, like, I hear all of that, and I say, this guy can't get out of his own way. He just can't get out of his own way. Watch him on the mound. Like, when you really take the whole picture with David Price, the deep breaths, the laundry detergent, the allergy to the grass clippings, allergic to cats, tingling in his fingers, it's always something with this guy. Always. And it's between his ears. And so I am now at the point where I say, okay, the guy's a head case. Dave Dombrowski didn't know any of this from the time in Detroit? He didn't know any of it? Or did he know it and just say, ah, they're all weird. It's baseball. Bring him to Boston. He'll be fine. No problem. See, I think Dombrowski looked at Boston and just dismissed the fact that it is a little different than most markets. Not all. It's not different than New York. Not really. I mean, there's an intensity here when the Red Sox are good. And the intense markets, you're going to get that. You're going to get something like it. But it's different than Tampa. It's different than Detroit. And Detroit's a pretty good baseball market. But it's different. And I think Dombrowski's the kind of guy that looks at intangibles and says, eh, he throws 96. I go with the stuff. That's what I do. I go with the stuff. Martin's on the Cape. What do you got, Martin? Martin, you there? All right, well, we'll put him back on hold. It sounds like he's there, and I don't know what the hell happened to him. Sean is in Hingham. Go, Sean.
Hey, I want to make two quick points. One on Hanley Ramirez. He's playing really well right now. We all know that. He has that vesting option coming up. I know this is kind of more long-term, but are you worried about that? Because I feel like if he gets it, he's just going to cash it in next year, and he's going to go back to the same old Hanley. And a quick thing on Dombrowski and Price. Obviously, maybe Dombrowski didn't vet him well enough, but look at the three markets he's played in before this, between Toronto, Tampa, and Detroit. Detroit's a better one, but was he ever really pressed like this in those old markets? And maybe Dombrowski was like, well, it's bad here in Boston, but maybe he'll be able to handle it. But, like, he's never seen anything like this. So, like you said, he might have undersold it, but Price has never really been pushed, and now it kind of just put him over the edge.
Yeah, so, Sean, look, I think that Dombrowski underestimated it. Either that or he just ignored it. I mean, Murray brought up a good point. He ignored the elbow injury of Drew Pomeranz. I mean, he ignores stuff like Tyler Thornburg. He ignored that. Carson Smith felt like an injury waiting to happen. He ignored that. He just looks at the numbers, the stuff, and says, eh, yeah, let's go get him. Ah, the injury stuff, that can happen with anybody. Ah, Boston, the market, the intense, that's overrated. All he does, it feels to me like Dombrowski just looks at the stuff, the numbers, and the rest of it he dismisses. So I would like some answers on Dave Dombrowski as to what he knew about David Price's makeup when they were in New York. Is he just dismissed that? Because it does feel like Dombrowski just looks at the numbers on the paper, like that these guys are commodities and he trades them and that's the end of it. And I don't know, maybe that's a good way to do it. Maybe that's how Billy Beane does it. But I still feel like that in certain places you got to factor that in. And he didn't. It doesn't feel to me like he did that.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
You're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I couldn't see. My allergies, that's something I've always had to battle with as well. I mean, I don't need to be in a bubble or anything like that. You know, I've had one surgery in my life, and that was LASIK. So I've been, you know, really relatively injury free, you know, my entire life. And allergies is something I've always had to battle, you know, whether it's fresh cut grass or cats, or I found I'm allergic to dogs. So that's just probably the weather was a part of it as well. You know, it was cool, you know, the day before, and then that last day was. I was warm, so it's just this part of it. I'll be ready to go on Saturday.
Nobody does David Price like Jim Murray, by the way.
I don't know how anyone can ever take that guy seriously again. He just should not have talked at all yesterday, especially the end there. The just makes it sound like such a burden that I got to go out there again tomorrow. Oh, poor you.
It is. It's a battle. The allergies are a battle with this guy.
Battle. Uses battle twice. That's a battle with the allergies.
Before we get back to Price.
Take Benadryl.
Let me just tell you, the Baseball Reporters is brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun, so plan your stay at MoheganSun.com. That was very John Sterling-esque of me in the middle of a conversation. I just dropped that in. Or Susan Waldman. I had nothing to do with anything. But in any case, thanks to our friends at Mohegan Sun. Before we get back to the calls. The video games, the allergies, like Price. I want to play this for you because I thought Murray hit it out of the park during the Felger and Maz show. Chris Casper is on the program in the 4 to 5 o'clock hour, as he is every Friday. We started talking about the gaming with Price and the video games, the carpal tunnel syndrome. Again, the Red Sox have a 13-year-old that's the highest paid player on the team, in case you didn't know that. And Murray being Murray, well, it sounded like this.
JBJ, you got my six? Who's the sniper? Chris Sale, get up on top of that building.
That's because you walk into the clubhouse, you see him wearing the headset, they're playing Fortnite, he's communicating with the rest of his players. Now, according to this article in The Athletic, you know, he's all these other guys are playing it. Yep.
Yo, JBJ, why'd you jack my kill, bro? Ben Attendee, you noob, you're holding the team down. You're going to get us killed. I'm going to rage quit.
Because, of course, he's playing on the headset. Yeah, so yeah. Murray's giving you all the acoustics to go along with it. Absolutely fabulous. This guy, he's a piece of work. I mean, he is a complete freaking head case. Sam, oh, sorry. Let me try that again. Sam is in Milton. Sam, what do you got?
Yeah, what's up, Tony? Real quick on Price. So for everybody that's saying, you know, trade him, get rid of him, forget it. It's not going to happen. So I think a crucial part to his success here in Boston is going to be if Cora and the staff can get this guy to buy in, sack up, and start performing like a $30 million pitcher. Because the talent's not the issue. And if this guy can't perform in October and be a number two on this staff, then the Sox have no shot in October. Thanks.
So, Sam, I'll tell you what, I'm not completely convinced of that. I'm not completely convinced that if he doesn't start, they can't win in October. But they're going to need him. I mean, I'll tell you, at this stage, I half wonder if you get to September and clearly Sale is your best pitcher, and then after that, let's say Porcello keeps having a good year, and Eduardo Rodriguez is as good as Price is. Let's say that Eduardo Rodriguez and Price are a wash. And again, I'm stretching here, okay? But I'm just... Let's say you get to the end of the year and someone's going to get bumped from the rotation. Why not bump Price and put him in the bullpen again? I mean, maybe that solves multiple issues for you. Maybe that gives you an eighth inning guy. Like, now look, if he pitches well as a starter during the course of the year, well, then there's no decision to be made. He starts. But if he doesn't pitch well, I'm not sending him out to the mound just because I'm paying him $31 million. That investment's over. That's gone. I'm sending my best guys out there. You've invested way too much in this team than to feel you owe something to a head case with a $31 million contract. He's going to have to earn a spot in the rotation in October, as far as I'm concerned. Will the team do it that way? I don't know. I mean, they did it a year ago. I'd be eager to see how that one goes if it came to that. Craig is in Westfield. Go, Craig.
Hey, guys, what's up? That Carlton mini bullhorn thing that Jimmy uses, you can't find enough uses for that. That thing cracks me up. Did you guys ever hear any grumblings with colleagues or anything of how of weak David Price was? Like, did anybody say, hey, you know, other writers or anything say, hey, good luck with that guy? You know, in allergies, he's been here, you know, this is his third trip around with the Red Sox, and all of a sudden this year, I mean, people have allergies every year. Now, allergies are all of a sudden on his list of ailments.
So Craig, here's what I would tell you, that like it just feels like every year we find out a little bit more about how complex this guy really is. And look, we're all complex, right? None of us are really all that simple. I mean, some of us are, but most of us really aren't. I mean, there's a lot of layers there. With this guy, there might be more than most. So, were there questions about whether or not he could handle a big spot? Yes. The postseason record alone taught you that. He had been in Tampa. And Toronto, as nasty a media market as it can be, and it can be nasty, underrated nasty media town, Toronto, at least by the average fan, media people know that it can be nasty. But the hockey media up there, the focus is on hockey. So, baseball's sort of less of an infatuation, and not even sort of, it is. So, coming to Boston was a bad match for Price. No two ways about it. I mean, we can all say that now with absolute 100% certainty. I think we all questioned whether or not he'd be able to win in October, and certainly as a result of that, look at the market and say, can he handle the market? But this is 10 times worse than I ever thought. And, again, to me, that comes back to Dombrowski. What did he know about this guy, and what did he ignore? And also, as it pertains to Boston, because I think that Dombrowski even did it with himself, I think he just thought, you know, the big market thing's a lot of bull crap. yeah, I'm Dave Dombrowski, I can hack it. And it feels to me like he totally misread the intangible aspect of playing in a market that's a little psychotic, let's face it. Eric is in Oxford. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Murray, I couldn't agree with you more. They do make things for, you know, allergies, Claritin, Benadryl, and all that. But my question is to you, Maz, is do you really think he cares what happens now? He's making his money, and it's just a drift for him? You know, he's like the Matt Harvey of the New York Mets for our team.
So that's a good question, Eric. I don't. It felt to me like at the beginning of the year, Price was more interested in making an effort here in Boston. Like he wasn't just going to. Last year, I thought he didn't care. Screw it. I got my money. You can't do anything to me. I hate you all. Blah, blah, blah. This spring, it felt to me like he came in wanting to turn the page and make a commitment to the Red Sox. Okay. At least to become a professional. And I don't think there's been anything as outwardly nasty as there was as the Dennis Eckersley incident a year ago. But I just feel like the guy can't get out of his way. So you're not going to trade him, people. And he's not going to opt out. You're stuck with him. You are stuck with him. I would hope at some point, though, he matures to the point where he says, you know what? If I can go 15-8 here over the last few years of the deal, on average, everybody will be happy. Even if I suck in October again. It won't be a complete disaster. But then something happens like this week, and you sort of feel like it's hopeless. It's absolutely hopeless. I'm going to bring in Aaron in Northboro because he wants to get to a topic that I also want to get to. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, Maz. First of all, I just want everybody to know that I really battled through the wait time on the call.
Appreciate that, yeah.
Why is nobody talking about Martinez? Everybody's so focused on this damn pitcher. Forget him. Why aren't we talking about Martinez over Stanton? He's got him in the stats. We're 50 games in. Nobody's saying that we got the better end of the deal.
50? We're 37 games in. You're already tacking on another 13?
Yeah, put him on.
Okay, so Aaron, are you convinced right now that J.D. Martinez was the right move?
Well, if I'm looking just from a stats perspective...
I'm not asking you to look at stats. We can all look at the stats. Martinez's stats are better. I'm saying that going forward, do you think J.D. Martinez was the right choice?
Well, it's going to come down to the big moments. And, you know, between the two series that we've had, you know, I think they're both equal because they both had big moments where they basically won games against each other. So, you know, it's a coin flip. I can't make a call right now, but that's what it's going to come down to for me is in the big moments, can Martinez deliver like Stanton is expected to?
Okay, so I'm glad you brought it up, and I'm glad you put it that way. Because the big moments are going to make a difference. And last night was a big moment. It was a big moment last night. And this is why I wanted to get to J.D. Martinez. In six games against the Yankees this year, his OPS is 908. Very good. I don't know what his OPS was last season. I think it was actually higher than that for the overall year. I want to say he was in the 940, 950 range. But nonetheless, 908 in six games against the Yankees so far, terrific. At Fenway Park, J.D. Martinez is hitting 373 with an OPS over 1,000. So I will tell you in the early part of the year here, and it's early, they haven't even played a quarter of the season yet, I'm rapidly coming around on J.D. Martinez. I'm not quite there yet. What do you got, Jimmy?
Last year, J.D. Martinez had a 1.066 OPS.
For the season?
In 119 games.
Wow. Well, then again, I mean, he did hit 29 home runs after the All-Star break. So he's not producing quite yet at what he was a year ago, but I'll tell you what, 908's pretty good. And he's got 9 home runs right now, and they're not quite a fourth of the way through. So he's on pretty close to a 40-homer pace. It might even be a little over that. And I told you he needed to hit 35 for me to sort of say, okay, you got what you needed out of this guy. That home run last night, here's what I'll tell you. Yankee Stadium has always been what it is, which is a place that has a short right field. The Yankees built their teams to that ballpark for decades. Decades, decades, decades. And if you think about it, it's a great way to do it. You build a ballpark with a short right field. The majority of pitching you're going to face is right-handed. And then historically, you load up on left-handed hitters. And you are going to hit a ton of balls into those seats. Now, this Yankees team is a little different. They have right-handed batters. Judge, Sanchez, Stanton, but their righties can hit them out of any ballpark on the planet. Okay, those guys all have legitimate power. Which brings me to J.D. Martinez. He is a nightmare for the Yankees in that ballpark. J.D. Martinez wants to hit the ball to the opposite field. Dellin Betances threw him down and in last night, and J.D. Martinez still hit the right field seats. He is a nightmare for the Yankees in that ballpark. And if you go back to 03, 04, when the Red Sox were winning games in New York, and when they ultimately beat the Yankees, you know why the Red Sox beat the Yankees those years? And they beat them in New York? Because their left-handed batters were better than the Yankees. And the Yankees had no answers for David Ortiz. Johnny Damon hit a grand slam in Game 7 in 2004, left-handed batter. Manny could drive the ball out to right center, so right-handed batter, but again, devastating in that ballpark. The Red Sox were able to go into Yankee Stadium and combat the lineup the Yankees had with guys of their own that could hit the ball in the right field seats. It was a huge thing for them during those years. Huge. And I think that now, with Martinez, they've added another guy like that. So it doesn't take a lot to hit the ball out to right field at Yankee Stadium, as we all know. And ultimately, this is why the Red Sox are going to need Andrew Benintendi to hit. Like, they need that lefty bat when they go against the Yankees in that ballpark. And they needed a legit right-handed bat to go alongside Hanley, who can hit the ball out of any part of Yankee Stadium, because Hanley and J.D. Martinez can both hit the ball out to all fields in that ballpark especially. So you want to tell me in the rivalry that J.D. Martinez is a game changer? I'm starting to buy in. I'm not all the way there yet. But from a matchup standpoint for the Yankees, having to pitch that to that guy in a big spot in their own ballpark, nightmare. And I think that J.D. Martinez proved that last night. Boston's